Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Good Soil Podcast, where the Word of God meets ears, minds, and hearts, and by His grace grows a great harvest. I'm Aaron Fesenmeyer, pastor of York Evangelical Free Church, right here at the crossroads of the Midwest, York, Nebraska. And I am so grateful that you joined in today. If you are just joining us, myself and members of the church I serve have been reading through the New Testament together this fall, having just finished the book of Acts, or Acts of the Apostles, as it's called. Acts leaves us with an open ending. The work of the church is not yet finished, and the gospel hasn't gone everywhere. And where it has gone, the people of God need some further groundwork. What is life like as a Christian? What goes on in salvation? How are we to think about the church? How do we continue in the faith? How do we love one another? How do we love those outside the church? Welcome to the next big chunk of writings in our New Testament that addresses those questions and more, the epistles. As we read these, you will definitely notice that the epistles are not written like gospel accounts, but don't let that intimidate you. These are instructional letters written to churches and individuals to encourage them and us to keep going and growing in our faith, individually and corporately as the church. The first of these letters in our Bibles is an absolutely magnificent book. So I preface that to say, be prepared to have lots of wow moments and also lots of moments with this one. Let me officially welcome us, therefore, to the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, or the Book of Romans, as we might call it. Since we haven't really talked about Paul yet, let's do that before we get too far in the letter. If you read the book of Acts with us, you will undoubtedly make the connection that this letter is written by the Apostle Paul, the great missionary to the Gentiles. But before this, he was called Saul, a Pharisee of Pharisees, and a crazy malicious persecutor of the church, until Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, claiming him as his own and placing the calling on his life that Jesus told the disciple Ananias in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 through 16, quote, "He is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." This Saul, now Paul, is the writer the Holy Spirit worked through to give us this amazing letter. Paul's background is important because in this letter, as in the rest of his life, Paul's transformed life is about one thing: the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, if you want the great interpretive key for this whole letter, the lens that will work best to see everything that Paul writes in Romans is found in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, where he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." The gospel is the good news of the fulfillment of God's promises found in the Old Testament, the expected hope of Israel, indeed of the world, found and revealed in Jesus the Christ, his life and his work. God's salvation is the most incredible news that a fallen world could receive, transforming sinners into saints, guilty into justified, unholy into holy, divided into united, even the rest of broken creation itself redeemed and on the path to restoration. And this letter unpacks that. Paul moves throughout the letter to discuss how the gospel came about, how we, whether we are Jews or Gentile pagans, need that gospel. We need what it achieves, and we need to understand what it achieves. Its relationship with Jews who had the law, its relationship with Gentiles who had a law written on their hearts, and our subsequent relationship with one another and the lives that the people of God made righteous in Christ are to live. It is this theme of the gospel upon which the church has her message of transformation from her husband, Savior, and King. In the gospel, we are given the greatest hope, the greatest joy, the greatest security, the greatest power through Christ, who is the Word incarnate. The church has the most solid of foundations for existence and for her work. To bring that same gospel to a world that, as Romans 1 verse 21 says, has not honored him as God or given thanks to him. All of our work and life is to be marked and shaped by this gospel, both as a corporate body and as individuals who comprise that body. Now, I'm not going to tell you that reading the letter to the Romans is a piece of cake. No way. I think the Apostle Peter had this letter in mind when he wrote in his own letter, there are some things in them, that is Paul's letters, that are hard to understand. But that doesn't mean that it's impossible for you and I with the same Holy Spirit. I mentioned at the beginning of our journey that we need the Holy Spirit to understand our New Testament correctly. And with Him, we can. Let's ask Him for help. But right in line with the Holy Spirit's help, I want to provide some explanation on a couple terms that Paul uses in this letter, and he uses them in other letters as well. And hopefully this will help. The first term is righteousness. In the letter to the Romans, this can be used most often for three different ideas, and I get these from Doug Moo's massive commentary on Romans, if you want to check it out. First, righteousness is God's attribute of holiness or justice, his rightness. Second, God's righteousness is God's action of justifying his people, that is, making or counting people as righteous. Or thirdly, God's righteousness is God's righteous activity in general. All that God does is right. Everything that God does is right. And it's from these that the great reformer Martin Luther said that the gates of paradise were opened to him when he finally understood the righteousness of God that is worked out in the letter to the Romans. The second related term is justification, particularly justification by faith. Paul in this letter is countering a likely split in the church in Rome between Jews and Gentiles, and Paul is coming down hard on this. We don't justify ourselves before God. We don't make ourselves right before God. As the letter to the Romans indicates, we are sinful in a way that we would not possibly believe unless it is revealed to us. Only the sovereign God, by his grace, through his gospel, received by us by faith, justifies us. So that means any attitude of our own superiority towards brothers and sisters in Christ, or anyone else for that matter, whatever nation, ethnicity, sex, socioeconomic status, religious standing, community standing, etc., etc., gets in the way of the truth of the Holy God acquitting us of our guilt and taking away our shame, and giving to us, Jew and Gentile, righteousness, and adopting us into the greatest family with the greatest Father the universe has ever known. This is the letter to the Romans. And there is certainly more that could be said and has been said on this very, very important letter in the New Testament. But you need to go read it for yourself. And I'd love to talk with you about any moments you might have. So if you're in for that, please send me an email at info@yorkefree.com and we'll talk. As we start this book, let me pray for us as we receive God's word in the letter to the Romans. Father in heaven, God of righteousness, we thank you for your word. Please give us, all who are reading, understanding of what you intended for us to know in this letter that our brother and the apostle Paul wrote. Grow our love for you and for the many people from all over the world you purposed to know your name. Please help us to be amazed at the gospel and greatly secure in your gospel, secure in Jesus Christ, your Son. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Good Soil Podcast. I'm enjoying reading the Bible with you. Let me encourage you to keep reading, keep going at it. His voice is worth hearing. Until I talk with you next, may God reap a great harvest in our midst as his word grows in good soil.